So there's some discussion about how the Brahma meditated. Actually, this book, Brahma Samhita, is extremely interesting, to put it mildly. When we first pick it up, we think, oh, what is this? It's too much. It's rather difficult. But as we read it more and more, we find that it's extremely nectarian and very sweet. And from the onset, you would never think that this book is about Gopi Bhav or Raganuga Bhakti or Mantri Bhav. But in fact, all those things are there. And more, much more, as they say. This and so much more, they say. These things and many more things are there. So when you see the life of Brahma and his practices, because he's the head of our sampradaya, and we're supposed to follow in the footsteps, Mahajanayena Katasapanta. So the path that they establish and the method of bhajan that they establish would also be followed by their shishya and students. As the guru attained enlightenment, then his guru attained, and he followed a path, and then his guru attained, and it's like parampara. So the first guru, the Adi Guru, is Brahma. But Brahma wasn't a guru when he was born, or let's say manifested. He became a guru by dint of his austerity, his realization, his chanting of mantra, and his receiving the mercy of Krishna, the Adi Guru. So, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like us. I mean, we're not born guru, or let's say, not that guru is our aspiration, that's only another service position, but our aspiration is to realize Krishna and develop love for Krishna, and to realize our sarup, and to ultimately go to the spiritual world and serve Krishna in a loving rasa. So, this is what this particular note mentions here, that in this verse 26, which we're discussing, it describes how that Brahma meditated on the Gopal mantra. And Saraswati Goswami, he explains in the purport, there's a difference, as we've been hearing, between spiritual material forms of meditating on this mantra. An intelligent person realizes that Durga's ability to fulfill desires is coming from Krishna alone and not her. That's what we discussed yesterday, Kama Sarva Kamova. The demigods don't actually fulfill our desires, but they do through the empowerment that they receive from the Supreme Lord. So, at the end of this purport, on 26, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that Brahma was not meditating in pure devotional service. So, in Shuddha Bhakti, the same as us. Or at least most of us, let's say. So he explains he was on a mixed platform due to his desire to create. So we're like that too. We're also mixed. We have mixed desires. And sometimes the mixture of our desires makes us mixed up. The mixture of our desires presents itself in such a way that we're a little bit mixed up and we're not clear of what our position is or what our goal is or what our activity is. It's called becoming bewildered or becoming an illusion. So he had the desire, he was on a mixed platform, desire to create, but still, because he followed the system as instructed by his guru, in this case Divya Saraswati, he became realized purely in course of time. This process is described at the end of Brahma Samhita and is our process of sadhana bhakti. So, that's just a little bit of a point, a review about. We can see, we can follow the, as I mentioned in one point, one class, this book, Brahma Samhita, it's a philosophical treatise, but at the same time, it's also a diary. It's a diary, it's like the way of a pilgrim, or there's many famous diaries where spiritual seekers describe their experiences on the way to self-realization, on the way to God-realization. So that's like a diary. And a lot of philosophy is also contained in there. Don Juan, this different you know, Carlos, you know, those different stories of Don Juan and Carlos Castaneda. So the idea is that Brahma is also reporting his diary here, how he's gradually coming to the point of full realization for our benefit, because Rome wasn't built in a day. And full realization, it is, Prabhupada often used the phrase, it's a gradual process. And then we have this analogy of the bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion, which will eventually produce a fruit. But fruit production is a gradual process. You don't put the seed in the ground and then get a fruit. In the same way as you don't, the guru puts the seed in the heart and then you get prema. It doesn't happen. It's a gradual process from seed to fruit. And so you see in Brahma didn't just, you know, he was fortunate. He found a really qualified guru, right? Brahma was very lucky. He got a high-class guru, right? Definitely a Mahabhagavat guru, no question about it. And, you know, Rasika Vaishnava and everything, whatever Divya Saraswati is, and she's simply a counterpart of Radharani, she is the guru of Brahma in the spiritual dham. And so the first guru of the Brahma Sampradaya is a Brijvasi, is a Vaikunthavasi, not a Russian or Italian or French or Indian or Bengali or Bihari or UP wallet. At any rate, the story of Brahma is very enlightening. It becomes very personal. It becomes very sweet and very personal when you get an understanding, when you actually dive into the matter and study it and look a little more closely at it. That's why we're taking a lot of time to go through this book, because there's a lot of sweetness there. You see, when some people eat their dinner, some people eat very fast. But you can understand that they're not rasikas. They're just, devourers or something. They just devour everything and they don't really realize that it's all for them. There's only one taste, and that's the taste of a full stomach. But for other rasikas, there's five different flavors, and then the mixture of all five, and then the variation on a theme of each different one, a mixture of salty and sweet, and then salt. So the slow eater, he tastes all the subtleties of fragrance and ras in his eating. So the slow student, he also gets to relish a little of the sweetness of the philosophy. And moreover, the ultimate goal of the course is to learn how to improve our bhajan and to increase our attachment for Krishna. And attachment means love. And our appreciation for Lord Brahma also. It wasn't that it was easy for him. Like sometimes we complain, oh, it's very difficult. It's hard going. It's my mind is giving problems. Body's giving problems. Friends, relatives, environment. Let me quit. But we don't see Brahma quitting. It was hard for him also, but he persevered. He was determined. And then he got a wonderful result. So as he got a wonderful result by being determined and patient, and it was a gradual result, you'll see, it came in installments. Then our realization will also come in installments. As Prabhupada often said, it is a gradual process. So, in order to attain the proper result, and in a speedy way, there are some principles that are required in mantra chanting. And one of those principles is to know what you're chanting. There's a direct correlation between understanding and holding the conception and holding the conception of the mantra and understanding the definition and meaning of the mantra that you're chanting. There's a relationship between that and how soon the fruit of that mantra will be tasted, or how soon you'll get the result. So I want to read something from this Gayatri book. The results of chanting a mantra depend on the conception in the mind while chanting it. that we're already discussing so much. If you have a material conception, material desire, then of course these kind of kama bija, these kama bijas klim, and these Gopal and Kam Gayatri mantras, they will give material fruits, material benefits. So we want a spiritual conception, but then what spiritual conception? Ordinarily, the Brahma Gayatri gives mukti. Brahma Gayatri means Om Bhurbhuvasva. But understanding that Savita is Lord Vishnu takes the chanter to Vaikuntha. If one chants the Kam Gayatri, understanding that it is non-different from Krishna in his ultimate rasika form, then one will attain that. It is the same as chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha Mantra, which contains everything. If one chants Hare Krishna with material desires, he will attain those. And if one wants mukti, one will get it. If one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, understanding that Radha and Krishna are personally present there, enjoying intimate pastimes in Vrindavan, then one will attain their eternal loving service. Ultimately, the content of the mantra cannot be separated from the sadhaka's mentality. Both have a part to play. This is a quotation from Yajnavalkya Smriti, which is one of the Shruti Smriti Puranadi, one of the Smriti literatures that Sanatan Goswami often quotes in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And it states, "One must know the meaning of the mantra which he is reciting. Without knowing the meaning of a mantra, one cannot reach the goal." And there's another little bit more on that idea. This is a quotation from Brahma Samhita, verse 60, which we'll get to, hopefully. This quote, "He who cultivates the preliminary devotional activities, anxiously keeping in view that realized state of devotion, can alone attain to that object of all endeavor. No one else can have the same." And this is some discussion. This important quote from Brahma Samhita shows that the eager and conscientious devotee always keeps the goal, prayojana, of Krishna prema in his mind and heart. He never loses sight of the meaning of life and sees that meaning in all his words, actions, and meditations. The Gayatris, Guru Gayatri, Gaur Gayatri, and Kam Gayatri, and the Gopal mantra direct one into Vrindavan. According to the Gayatri one chants and his understanding of it, he will enter a specific spiritual planet, Vaikuntha or Vrindavan. This quote This is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. One day Gopakumar's Gurudev said, This Gopal mantra will fulfill all your desires. Sounds like Saraswati, right? Speaking to Brahman. Because the chanting of this Diksha mantra will fulfill all your desires, if you desire to attain Krishna, this mantra will also fulfill that desire. Always think of his beautiful Shamsundar form, his transcendental qualities and pastimes. If you do this, this mantra will fulfill your desire to get Krishna. This is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila 23.465. As the devotee meditates on the Lord, so the Lord manifests that form to a devotee. The Lord gives his servants the power to sell him to others. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very, very important verse that's often quoted by acharyas when they're discussing Raghunuga Bhakti and the practice of meditation and how to come to the platform of self-realization. This verse is often quoted. Third canto, chapter 9, verse 11. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. That's the verse. This is Prabhupada's purport. There's actually really long purports on this in the, unabridged, or the, in the books where they have 6 or 8 or 11 purports to verses, Bhagavatam, this very long purport. This is Prabhupada. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee. So much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11. And this is another very important verse, which we often use it, temple commanders use it to preach the new bhaktas about going out on book distribution or something, or cleaning the temple. But generally, in the terms of Vaishnava Siddhanta, Gaudiya Siddhanta, this verse from Bhagavad Gita is used in this relationship, discussing how the Lord reciprocates with the love of his devotees in terms of ras and revealing particular forms. And that's chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 11. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmana vartante manusha partha sarvashaha. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. So Prabhupada quotes that to support his statement in the purport that Krishna is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. As you surrender to Krishna, as you approach him, as you meditate on him, as you serve him, then he's duty bound by the bonds of love to reciprocate with the pure desire of your heart. Now, I want to ask a question here. Has everyone read verse 26? We have a book, 26. If you see this translation to this verse on page 43, it says, Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practice the cultural acts for Krishna in Goloka. Atatipesa suchiram prinan govindam avyayam. So he was, who was he meditating on? Was he meditating on the Sringadev? Was Brahma meditating on the Sringadev? Was he wearing a t-shirt with a Sringadev on it? Or was he, did he have a Varaha t-shirt? No, he didn't, or a Varaha tattoo? No, he was wearing a Govinda t-shirt. You know, I love Govindas, right? Govinda's restaurant t-shirt. So he's meditating on the form of Govinda. So then who did he ultimately see? Ultimately, gradually, after some other intervals of transcendental reciprocation, who did he ultimately see? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Dung, dung, dung. If you have a really good, you know, CD, and you play it on your stereo, when George Harrison made this love offering to Srila Prabhupada, and he produced this song out of his love for Srila Prabhupada, with Yamuna and all the devotees in his Apple recording studio in London, he produced it. So, being an expert musician, when he was, they were playing harmonium, so then he added these church bells, real live church bells, not a synthesizer. Maybe it was a synthesizer, it probably was. But he added church bells, sounds like real church bells. And so when you have a good stereo, you hear them singing, Govind, dong, dong, dong. And it's really good because it reverberates in your speakers. And it's like, I mean, the spiritual world, every word is a song, so music is very much a part of devotees' lives, no? So when you hear that, you can't hear in a temple because we have like these $5 stereo systems, you know? But if you have a, you know, home stereo, you can appreciate what a fine touch that is. It's like the difference between making pushpana rice to offer to go Krishna and making pushpana rice and putting a sprig of fresh cilantro on top, which we call danya. In other words, you have some nice yellow pushpana rice, you put the turmeric in, it looks very beautiful and you want to make an offering. But then if you add a little sprig, a little piece of fresh, you know, dhanya patra, you know, cilantro, coriander, then it looks so beautiful. So that's called accent. That's called the finishing touch. So devotees are supposed to have that finesse. So my question I'm asking here is, he practiced cultural acts. What does this mean, cultural acts? He was doing off-Broadway shows, or he's doing pantomime, or juggling, or what kind of cultural acts? Was he doing Rathiyatras? That's a cultural... Was he putting on Rathiyatras around the universe in different planets? You have a festival of India, cultural festival. What was cultural acts? Austerities. The said like that is translated into austerities. Anything, anyone else? It's correct on one point, because that's what we discussed before. Sadhana. That's getting closer.
Meditation.
Huh? Yeah, he was practicing devotional service. It's a very interesting thing that's brought out by the Acharya's commentaries on this verse. That I'm just sharing these secrets with you, which we've heard from the Acharya's and Jiva Goswami, etc. And this is interesting that they say, and I'll just read here. So here, Brahma Samhita says that Brahma was performing cultural acts for Krishna and Goloka. What were these cultural acts? The Acharyas explain that Lord Brahma was performing Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti while envisioning himself to be a maidservant. That's what he realized, you'll see in verse 28. Not specifics, but we'll get to that. While envisioning or thinking of himself to be a maidservant, Mandri of the Gopis, Lord Brahma was chanting the Gopal mantra and performing, quote, cultural acts. What are those cultural acts? Please turn to page 62 of your textbook, if you brought it. If you didn't, then I'll read some to you. So in the purport on page 62, which is verse 37, you will see the cultural acts listed. These are the acts that Brahma was meditating on. It's called Manasi Seva. In his mind, he was chanting Gopal mantra, and he was thinking of himself in a certain way, and he was meditating on doing this service and that service and this service. The 64 activities in fine arts and crafts are the following. So you have them there, and I'm just going to read a few. We have the same list that you have, but a little bit more elaborately described based on a translation I received from Dasarath Sutta, my godbrother, who elaborated a little bit on the meaning of these things. So you can look along with me in your book and then listen, because I'll just repeat. So does everyone understand what we're talking about? In other words, you hear some of these arts, and it says like making mosaic tiles and designs in the floor. So that doesn't mean that while Brahma was meditating on the Gopal mantra, that he opened a quarry and started cutting stones into small pieces, and was, he went out and built a palace and started inlaying the floor with all kinds of mosaic tiles. No, it's not like that. But in his mind, it's called Manasi Seva, in his mind he was rendering various services to Krishna in Goloka while meditating on the Gopal mantra. So some of the services are number 5, Alekya, which means the art of drawing. It includes calligraphy and painting pictures. It includes all forms of art, from simple village arts up to the highest professional stage of masterful painting. Number 6, Vishesh Akachedya. This is the art of painting the face and body with various dots and designs of colored unguents and cosmetics. So in this particular, quote, cultural act, for Krishna and Goloka. In other words, cultural acts for Krishna and Goloka. That's what the verse says, right? 26. So that means in his mind he was chanting Gopal mantra thousands and thousands of times, repeatedly and constantly and over again. And then he was meditating in general. No specifics were revealed at this time. But in general, that I'm a servant. I'm a servant. Forget about a maid servant. Anyway, he was thinking maid servant. So he's thinking I'm a maid servant, and I'm rendering these different services to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, or Krishna and Vrindavan, and assisting the gopis. So you take number 6 as an example, and what he's thinking of is, oh, I've collected some mineral pigments from Govardhan, in different colors, yellow and red and other and browns, different shades of brown and yellow. And I've ground these rocks into a fine powder, and then I've sifted them through some screens until they're very, very fine. And then I shake them in the air to aerate them. And then I put them in different containers, beautiful stone containers that are decorated with jewels. And then I put them on a tray, and I bring them to some particular sakhi. And then I bring various kinds of musk and oils on another tray, and I'm standing here holding them, and then maybe that sakhi, she is painting dots on Krishna's face, right? That's what this art is called, alekya, the art of drawing, number 6, the shesh akakchedya, the art of painting the face and body with various dots and designs of colored unguents and cosmetics. Have you ever seen that in a temple? Krishna and Balaram and Radhishan, they look so beautiful. Isn't it sometimes your eyes and your mind can't go off the face of Krishna or Balaram, or, you know, they're so painted so beautifully and so intricately, and, you know, the different pujaris that they just, you know, you spend all day just looking at how, and you think how they did that. And then you ask them, or you go in and watch someone when they're doing that, and they do it so fast and effortlessly, and you're thinking, I could never do that in 1,000 years. And they're painting so beautifully. Or you go to some mandirs like Radha Damodar, they do that, they paint Damodar's face and hand and his leg and his feet right out in, you know, in the open. They do the basic Sringhar, bathing in Sringhar behind and Boga behind closed doors, and they open the doors and you can see. And the Bajari, there used to be one old Bajari named Jagannath, a really frail, skinny little old Baba. He used to come there and he was very short. He used to stand on a box, a wooden box. It looks so, it's kind of cute in one sense. But he stood in this wooden box and he was so fast, he would paint, that was experience, but he'd paint so fast and deftly the Damodar's face with different designs and vines on his arms. And so this is one of the cultural acts to please Krishna in the spiritual world. And Brahma was perfecting this in his meditation. He was performing these different 64 cultural acts in his meditation. That's what's indicated in verse 26. Now, number 10, Mani Bhumika Karma, the art of inlaying floors, courtyards, and pathways with colorful mosaics of precious jewels. Number 12, Udaka Vadya, the art of making music in the water. The cup palms splash downwards to produce the thumping sound of kettle drums, or the hand splashes sideways back and forth to simulate cymbals. Sometimes this art is said to be playing different pots filled with varying levels of water to produce melodious tones. Number 19. Sugandha Yukti, the art of preparing and applying aromatics and perfume cosmetics of various kinds. This includes sprinkling sandalwood pulp in water to produce a nice fragrance. Number 24. Chitra Shakapupa Bhakshavikara Kriya, the art of preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, and delicious food. So that's an art. So those ladies that go in the kitchen over there in Prabhupada's kitchen, and they make those cakes every day, they're practicing number 24. Chitra Shakapupa Bhakshavikara Kriya. Salads, breads, cakes. I didn't see any mention here about pizzas. Well, maybe that comes under this category of breads and maybe that's in the Italian section of Vaikuntha. Then that's number 27, that's called Sutra Krida. This is the art of manipulating puppets with strings. So our god sister Jagatarini, in the old days of yore, in the days of yore, of Gurukul, she used to be in charge of, arts and crafts, and they would have these puppet shows. She and Burijan would put on puppet shows. So this is also done in the spiritual world, Sutra Krida. Number 30, Durvachaka Yoga, the art of skillfully uttering tongue twisters that are difficult for others to repeat. Number 33, Kavya Samasya Purana, the art of completing verses after only hearing three lines. This also includes solving crossword puzzles and various other puzzles. This is usually played at the risk of losing a stake or paying a penalty. In other words, it's a little bit of a type of gambling. You know, you bet someone, okay, I'll tell you three lines of a verse, now you have to finish the fourth one, as I would be thinking it. In other words, I have a four-line verse in my mind, I'll speak three, you have to finish it. So that's an art. Kavya. Kavya means poetry, right? Krishna's Kaviraj. Kavya Samasya Purana. Crossword puzzles. So some people, they get the newspaper, they do crossword puzzles. So they may be doing that, crossword puzzles in the spiritual world. Then number 42, Rikshayur Veda Yoga. The art of gardening and crossbreeding plants and trees for the purpose of obtaining Ayurvedic medicines. 44, Shuka Sharika Pralapana. The art of teaching male and female parrots to speak and hold conversations with people. Number 46, Kesha Marjana Koshala. The art of expertly arranging the hair, including coloring and curling it in various ways. 48, Mlechita Kutarka Vikalpa. Mlechita. Mlechita, like Mlecha. The art of fabricating languages spoken in the indistinct, ungrammatical manner of barbarians. Number 56, Chalitaka Yoga. The art of playing tricks and practical jokes. There's something we can do for Krishna in the spiritual world. Chalitaka Yoga, that's a type of yoga. So someone, when you're playing jokes on someone, you say, I'm doing yoga. Chalitaka Yoga, playing tricks and practical jokes. Number 58, so if you want to be a yogi, you'll be expert in this, joking and... Number 58, Vastra Gopan, the art of concealing, this is very interesting, Vastra Gopana, the art of concealing the true nature of cloth, making it appear as made of a different or superior texture. For example, one may take some coarse, inexpensive cotton and make it appear like costly silk. See, you should learn that art. This is number 62, Vainayiki Vidya. The art of enforcing discipline by employing mystical charms. So the Gurukul teachers should learn this. Vainayiki Vidya. The art of enforcing discipline by employing mystical charms. Of course, they do that, actually. They do that in Gurukul. They're not exactly mystical charms, but they're charms that you suck in your mouth. You know, little lozenges. So they say, you be a good boy, and I'll give you this charm, this little sweet. So they get discipline. They enforce discipline by giving reinforcement. You know, Mahaprasad, you get a rasgulla if you're a good boy, like that. And it also includes understanding another's psychic movements in order to influence their mind and induce them to act according to one's own wishes. So you can see, this is a very important art in the spiritual world. Listen to this. The art of influencing someone's mind and inducing them to act according to one's own wishes. So that's Krishna's always, when Radharani's in Man, he's trying to get the Manjaris, he's trying to use his art on the Manjaris and get them to petition Radharani on his behalf and give up her man and give up her unfavorable mood. So Krishna, he meets the Manjaris, says, oh, I want to talk to you, and then he tries to put a spell on them And then they say, no, forget it, Radharani, she's not going to see you in 100 years. Forget it. Because what the mandris are trying to do, even though Krishna is trying to induce them and influence their mind by his, you know, he knows his art. So he's trying to influence them according to his, to act according to his wishes. But they refuse to submit to his will because they know that Radharani's wish at this particular time is not to submit under the plea of a mandri, but actually Krishna himself will have to go there and break Radharani's man. That's called ahoitaki man, man without a cause. So that can only be broken by Krishna himself when he submits his flute and his peacock feather and his turban or crown. And that's a special thing. So now, and the last one I'll mention is number 64, Vaitaliki Vidya. The art of knowledge of artfully reciting the glories of great personalities. This includes knowing how to properly offer respects and compliments to others. So we can see that this art, because actually the gopis, Radharani is called Kalavati. One of her names is Kalavati. Because she is expert in all the 64 arts. And when the gopis would sometimes ask her, where did you learn these arts? Who taught you this dancing and singing and music and cooking and all these things? She said, I'm self-manifest. I didn't learn from anyone. So Radharani, she would teach the other sakis and mandris, and those sakis would teach the mandris singing and dancing and whatnot. But Radharani is Gandharvika. She is the repository and reservoir, an unlimited reservoir of all these 64 arts. So the residents of the spiritual world, especially Braja Gokul, they very much know these 64 arts. So this one, sometimes we practice some of these arts on this plane, in the plane of sadhana, as did Lord Brahma, as a sadhaka, he practiced these arts as part of his meditation. So we should practice these arts as part of our meditation. Especially I like this last one, Vaitaliki Vidya. The knowledge of knowing how to properly offer respects and compliments to others. Because that seems to be really missing in the society of Vaishnavas these days. How to respect one another and compliment and honor and appreciate one another. But that's very much an art and one of the mainstays of the spiritual world. All these arts manifesting their own eternal forms are ever visible in the region of Goloka as the ingredients of ras. And in the mundane sphere, they have been unstintedly exhibited in the pastimes of Braja by the spiritual potency Yogamaya. That's the purport, Brahma Samhita, verse 37. So that's all for verse 26. Any questions? Well, I'm not talking about chanting Hare Krishna. I'm talking about chanting Gopal Mantra. Because this book is about the Gopal Mantra, Brahma Samhita. But nevertheless, hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is, of course, essential. And that's the basic principle that everything is expanding from. Shravanam Kirtanam. But they're like, you have a train, you have an engine, and you have a, and then maybe you have some fuel car carrying diesel or whatever, and then you have people cars, coaches. And they're all connected. So in the same thing, Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam, they're all connected. They're not disjointed. They're a continuous train. They're all linked together. So when one is hearing, yes, you should hear the mantra and you should chant the mantra. And ultimately, but that's not where you stop. You have to go all the way to Atmanivedanam. Surrendering yourself and realizing yourself in the context of Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam and worshipping and everything, making friends or even more friendship, which includes sakiras and friendship as parents or friendship as a gopi. All these things are included in friendship and surrendering everything. So all the 9 limbs of devotion should actually be incorporated in the chanting of any mantra, including the Hare Krishna mantra. The beginning, step one is hear. Just hear the mantra and try to chant attentively with avoiding the 10 offenses. And then, if you read other descriptions, or you can see even from Prabhupada's books, which I quote in Appreciating Navadvipam, there's several quotes from Prabhupada about further approaches and more developed methodologies of chanting. And Nam Bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, explains that while one is chanting, hearing the mantra and chanting the mantra with rapt attention, then he should inject the conception or the meaning of the mantra into the mind while chanting, the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, which Prabhupada also told us. Right? He said, oh Mother Hara, O energy of the Lord, please engage. That's called conception. That's called meaning. So when we're chanting, we're not only supposed to hear, we're supposed to meditate on this meaning. We're supposed to meditate on the mantra, hear the mantra, meditate on the conception given to us by our Gurudev, and the Shiksha Guru for everyone has given us that conception. Which is pretty good, because that conception is full of that conception is the basis and foundation of the entire spiritual world, and the basis and foundation of every spiritual relationship, which is seva and humility. Dasosmi, I am a humble servant of the Lord. So that's what we're praying for. That's that conception is trying to cement that foundation and that realization within the core of the heart of the sadhaka. That, Vadani Shakti, Radharani, pure bliss personified, energy of the Lord, devotional energy of the Lord, please engage me in service. I want to also serve the Lord in love and in blissful relationship. Please make me a servant. Please let me realize this seva mood. And then may take shape in different ways as one advances in his hearing, chanting, and remembering. So the beginning of remembering is remembering the conception of the mantra. And with that conception, there are so many other things, because conception is called seed, the seed of conception. So inside the seed are the leaves and the branches and the twigs and the flower and the fruits. So as you meditate and you hear the holy name or the mantra, Gopa mantra, and with the seed of conception, and that seed will gradually reveal more and more, such as the cultural acts that Brahma was meditating on while hearing the mantra and chanting the mantra and remembering the meaning of the mantra, then all this seva he was also doing, which is part of the seed of conception. Because the seed brings with it rupam, guna, and lila.